Here's Mike McIntosh to begin today's chapter and verse program with this interesting observation.
Search the scriptures, Jesus says to the leaders. Search the scriptures. The demise of a biblical civilization is right around you. The question has been raised, why is the Bible outlawed in school? Why is the Bible outlawed in school? But pornography can be in school. Why is that? Why is it that the Bible is outlawed in our schools? Why is God pushed from the marketplace? Why does free speech no longer include public expression of God? You can't have that Christmas tree on that property. You can't have those Ten Commandments in that courtroom. You can't have expression of God. Separation of church and state. Oh, they just shot themselves in the foot. Because all people that believe in God do not believe in church. So who are they after? The only group they're after is the group that believes in church. Church and state, not religion and state. Get it? It's you. You're the target.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Glad to have you join us for today's broadcast of CMV Radio. Search the Scriptures is the topic and title that we're listening to with our teacher, Pastor Mike McIntosh. The devil knows that if he can get the Word of God out of the hands of the people, they won't hear of the love the Father has for every human being. When we look around and see the moral decay of society, it's not man leading the charge, but rather the enemy of the cross. For he knows without a doubt the power in the cross and the power of God's word to lift up as they see the Son of Man was lifted up in order to save us from the power of sin in our lives. Now prepare for an important study with our teacher Mike McIntosh as we continue the message, Search the Scriptures.
And the devil is fighting for control of every human soul on this planet ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Historic message. That's a historic message. But who would keep that message from you? And how blind would the people have to be to realize that Samuel F.B. Morse, Morse code, in 1844, sent the very first telegram through wire to his assistant. Do you know where he was when he sent the first telegram? He was in the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Did you know that? The very first one that Morse sent out was a simple little message that he sent, and his position was from the chamber of the Supreme Court, then at that time, of course, in the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C. He sent it to his assistant, and his assistant was Albert Vail, who was at the Mount Clair Depot in Baltimore, Maryland. And they set up the wires, and he sends the message. And Morris allowed a little girl, the young daughter, Annie Ellsworth, a friend of his, to choose what his message would be. And Annie Ellsworth said, Mr. Morris, I think that you should send a Bible scripture. And do you know what the Bible scripture was? It was Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 23. What has God wrought? What is the wonder of what God is doing here? Now, how in the world can you reason that from the chambers of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the first message ever sent was that from the Bible, that today they'd say, separation of church and state, you can't send a message like that. Who is it that would not want the greatest thinkers, the greatest politicians and leaders of our country not to know the power of God's word? Who is it? You can say, well, it's the Democrats or, well, it's the Republicans. No, it's the devil. You are under a strong delusion and you have no weapons to defend yourself. Many of you don't carry Bibles. Many of you don't read Bibles. But this is exactly what is going to judge you because you reject his word. The Father doesn't dwell in you because my word doesn't abide in you. It used to be that every child in every public school, in every city, in every county, every state in the United States of America had a Bible available to them. Now you have Bibles available to you all the time, but do you use it? See, this could be the condemnation against your very soul. When you stop and you think that he says, search the scriptures. American history is filled with the Bible. I know you all know that. from the first president to the second president to the third president to the fourth president, all the way up to the recent president. They've all put their hand on a Bible and raised their right hand and sworn to God. You wonder how long that's going to go on. How long will that go on? A lot of swearing to God has been broken by a lot of those people that have put their hand in that Bible. You go into a courtroom, raise your right hand. Testimony you're about to give, is it true? So help you God, so help you God. You wonder how long that's going to keep going on. You see, somebody wants the Bible out of public opinion. The Bible is not a religious book, nor is it designed to make a religion. It is the book about eternal life. Now, if it said the book about eternal life from the U.S. Medical Association, it would probably be acceptable. But because it's a book about God and His Son and God's love for the people of planet Earth, it's been turned into a religious book. Why is it that this book is being kept from you, your children, your grandchildren, your future great-grandchildren, and future generations? Why? And who has the power to stop that? American history is filled with the Bible. Did you know the Bible is the basis of all our law? From the Supreme Court down to any of you that are lawyers or attorneys here, the Bible is the basis for the law system in America. And if you take the Bible out, everything will collapse. Do you know the great thinkers of Great Britain, of Scotland and England, when they began putting together modern law, they didn't take the French, they didn't take the German, they took it from the King James Scriptures and saw the wisdom and the power of freedom and liberty and ownership, the right for you to own property, the right for you to have freedom of speech. And why is it in today's society there is no longer any freedom of speech? They've come in and put in a new one called hate speech. Well, there's only freedom of speech. There's not love speech and hate speech, but a very small minority has come in, split the family, split the government, said you don't get our votes if you don't do it our way, and have risen to the top. You know, the enemy is within. The enemy's not without. And if you say that's hate speech, who is it to say what you just said is hate speech or just opinion? You see, the law says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. He's the ultimate judge that can accuse anybody for eternity. So how can you put in a law saying hate speech for a minority group to now turn against anyone? They've done it in Sweden. They've neutered the pulpits. The pastors cannot speak on certain subjects. They've done it in Canada, right up on your border here. Cannot talk about certain subjects, considered hate speech. You'll go to prison for it as a pastor if you bring up subjects. So here we have, search the scriptures. Don't just read them, but search the scriptures. The Bible's the basis for our law, but we're living under a philosophy that ultimately is the demise of a biblical civilization. Our civilization in Western society was built up because of the Holy Scriptures. But you are living during the demise of a biblical civilization. We realize that when the Holy Scriptures are in the hearts of our judges, the hearts of the CEOs, the hearts of the educators, the hearts of the home, the hearts of the marriage, the hearts of the children, the hearts of everything going on, that country is exalted. Do you know that the wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon, said that righteousness exalts a nation? Righteousness. But how do you get righteousness if you don't have a righteous God to believe in? You have self-righteousness. But that isn't what exalts a nation. It's only righteousness that can come from God that lifts a nation up. Our nation is on the downhill. We used to be number one in medicine, number one in education, number one in military, number one in finances, and now we're at the bottom of the list, pretty basically in the world opinion poll and in the facts. We are no longer what we used to be because we have spit in God's face and slapped Him. Search the scriptures, Jesus says to the leaders. Search the scriptures. The demise of a biblical civilization is right around you. The question has been raised, why is the Bible outlawed in school? Why is the Bible outlawed in school? But pornography can be in school. Why is that? Why is it that the Bible is outlawed in our schools? Why is God pushed from the marketplace? Why does free speech no longer include public expression of God? You can't have that Christmas tree on that property. You can't have those Ten Commandments in that courtroom. You can't have expression of God. Separation of church and state. Oh, they just shot themselves in the foot. Because all people that believe in God do not believe in church. So who are they after? The only group they're after is the group that believes in church. church and state, not religion and state. Get it? It's you. You're the target. For some reason, you are a threat to the powers that be. And this book is the one that feeds you. And as long as you don't read this, they don't care, because you'll never know the freedom that you truly have. The less you read this, or the less you know about this, the less power you have inside. Because Jesus said to those people, God's word, my word doesn't abide in you. You don't know the Father. You've neither heard his voice or seen his shape. You don't know what you're talking about. You just have nothing but a big religion going on here, made on money. From the beginning of our great country, it was not so. Turn with me to the book of Acts, if you would, for just a moment, to chapter 17. We can pick it up right around verse 7 or 8 or so. Acts 17. And look at this early first century group of people in a metropolis in Europe at the time. Chapter 17. And I'd like to read right about verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And whom they found, when they found them not, they drew Jason, certain of his brothers, unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come here also. The preachers of the gospel have turned the world upside down. When Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there's another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city whom they heard when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, underline verse 11 and 12. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures once a year. Oh, I'm sorry, monthly. Oh, weekly. Daily. They searched the scriptures daily, whether these things be so. Yes, Acts says these people were more noble. That term literally means more noble-minded. But notice how active these people were. The secular people said, these men have turned the world upside down. There's an uproar going on. Yeah. And that's what you and I should be doing. We're like, oh, we're down just sort of moving around with our heads ducked as if we're in a prison camp. No, we're free. We're going to live for eternity. Search the scriptures. That's what Jesus told those people. You see, they were more noble-minded, but first of all, they received. Are you in a position to receive? That's what made them more noble-minded. They were open-minded. They were willing to take what the scriptures had to say to them. And thirdly, they were active. They searched, but they searched with a reason. You know, if you're just walking around the house and I come into your house and say, what are you doing? I'm searching. I'm looking for something. Oh, really? Can I help you? Yeah, if you want to. And after a half hour, we bump into each other a couple times in a closet or something. I said, by the way, what is it we're searching for? And you say, I don't know. I'm just searching. There's a lot of people that take the Bible and God like that. You don't know. But these people searched with reason. They wanted to find out if it was true. They wanted to know if what they were learning was true. The second thing, this is the book that speaks of eternal life. Search the scriptures, Jesus said. For thus saith the high and lofty one, it says in Isaiah 57, the one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirits of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. It's all about God, eternal life. He's the high and lofty one. He's always there. He's forever. Why would this book be a danger to the kids of our schools? To know that there's somebody more powerful than government, that actually sets up governments, that is a creator. He's high and lofty, and he's watching everything you do. And because he's watching, it makes our children accountable. Mom and dad aren't there, but every student used to say, yeah, but God sees. Oh, students don't say that now, do they? Only the devil would scheme to remove the Bible from people. You know, it's everyone's right. It is your right to know about eternity. Why shouldn't you be able to know that you could live for eternity? What's wrong with that? What's the matter with it? I'll tell you what's wrong and what's the matter. Men have abused the simplicity of this book, and they've made religion. They've made denomination. They've made a hierarchy. They have made a place for themselves. And yet they have put up stumbling blocks so good people like you can't just get up in the morning and read the Bible be in the middle of a business deal and open it and say, you know, I'm not going to do this because this scripture speaks to me. To be in your classroom and to bow your head and say a prayer, God, I don't understand physics. Lord, I'm not understanding the sixth grade algebra. Could you help me? And God helps you. I'll tell you what, it may be illegal to pray in our classrooms, but I know for a fact, for a literal fact, from the police officers, from the ministers, from the debriefers and the counselors, there's a lot of praying going on in Columbine High School the day that the boys came in with their guns. Now, are you going to arrest those kids that were calling out to God? Are you going to arrest the young girl that stood up and said, I believe in God, and they shot her in the face? No. How stupid we are as a people to think that we could have what we have called the United States of America and that we did it on our own. And how stupid we are as believers that we're letting this thing be dismantled right before our eyes and not doing a thing. How silly. How utterly silly that we don't have the strength because we're self-centered and living for ourselves for the pleasures of the very system that is trying to rip you down and destroy you. There's a war going on. It's not in Iraq. It's on your street. Married couples are now a minority in the United States of America. Do I have to say more? You've watched them strip this down and show you the alternatives, and you've given up without a fight. No, we need to be like the people in Berea and Thessalonica. There's an uproar in the city. These people are living good lifestyles. They're not buying the drugs anymore. They quit watching the pornography. Oh my goodness, we're going to lose money. Oh, they're not drinking anymore. Hey, the crime has gone down. That's one way to help with the busted budget that we're losing 25 cops a week in San Diego and there's not enough cops to cover your neighborhood. Just start praying. Let the crime come down to the level where the police department is. Bureaucracy says hire more and build this up. No, why don't we stop the wickedness? Why don't we intercede and let God be glorified? Why don't we let the uproar be that those that were lame are now sitting at the table of the Lord like Mephibosheth? Does a 17-year-old boy from Texas have to come in and grab your attention and tell you what God can tell you through the Bible? Yes, he does. I was wondering last week, 7,000 to 10,000 men at the men's conference at Anaheim. For weeks and weeks, what am I going to talk about, Lord? What is the message you want? And I was listening to Leland sing that song about Mephibosheth. And I said, that's the message. Most men are crippled and lame. And they don't know how to find the strength they need. And it's because of his CD, it inspired me to put together the message to talk to those thousands of men. I think that's wonderful. It gives me hope. Yeah, we may be a minority now. We may be not what we used to be. But there's a spark of hope that teenagers are coming up with authority and they're coming up with God's word and they love God's word. You need to love God's word. You need to love the God of the word. But don't just read it, search it. Search it daily. Seek out God. Find Jesus. See the threads. Say, I read that in Chronicles. I read that over in the book of Acts. No, that's in Philippians. Oh my goodness, this is a picture being painted. Exactly. Now he's communicating in a code. Forget the Da Vinci code. Gosh, what a ripoff that was. You know, and I know a lot of you gave him, made him a millionaire and went and saw it. You just see the advertising. You hear you just know it's just a ripoff is a money deal. Just like these guys you just saw on the screen. No, the book that speaks of eternal life. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, the psalmist said. And your remembrance unto all generations. So you got to pass it on. Last Wednesday night, as we're in the Psalms, we saw that King David said, oh, don't take me, Lord, until I've passed on your word to the next generation and the one after. Are you investing God's word into the kids around you? It's interesting that the Old Testament, when you look it up in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, the Old Testament uses the word eternity. Now, I know you probably know this. It uses the word eternity, and it's found very few times. But if you go and do a search for eternity in the New Testament, you don't find it. You find the word eternal right next to the word life. If you look for eternal, you don't find it in the Old Testament other than in terms like this, the high and lofty one that dwells forever. But the word eternal is found in the Old Testament, not in the New, but the word eternal life is found in the New Testament, but the word eternity, the concept is in the Old Testament. You've been reading Moses, and you think in them you have eternal life. But I'm he who he spoke of, and you don't recognize me. You see, it's a concept. It was a picture. It was concepts and ideas and analogy. And Jesus comes along and says, I'm the one. It's me. It's me. And the devil immediately says, let's start Christianity. Let's divide it with Catholicism and Protestantism. Let there be wars and fighting, and let's make big grandeur buildings, and let's put robes and gold and bling on the guys that walk down the deal, and just make it look like something, and get people in booths to confess their sins so we'll know what's going on in everybody's neighborhood and who's who, and let's control these people. And Jesus said, just know me. To know me is to love me, basically. To know me is to be a free person. It's not about Christianity. It's about Jesus Christ. And you'll only learn about him in this book that's being hid from you and kept back from you. Interesting. The wages of sin, the book Romans says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Why are you keeping them away from you? You can live forever. And if those words abide in you, when you drop dead, you're in that hospital and I come to visit you and you're taking your last gasp from the cigarettes you smoked for so long. And I say, what about Jesus? He's in here. Okay, great. Don't worry about it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You know, you take that last automobile accident, you just, you're hurting. The pastor's standing there next to you. Oh, I have so much pain. Where's Jesus? He's in my heart. Okay, don't worry. You're going to make it. It's not what's going on out here. The body. My word doesn't abide in you. That's your greatest sin, you religious people. You read it, but you've never searched it. It's amazing. And then the final thing, Jesus said the scriptures testify of him. The scriptures testify of Jesus. Just like America, the Jewish leaders kept the truth from the people. The truth is being kept from you. Someone has tricked you to say that this is a religious book. This is the book of all books. God cleverly had it written for centuries for people that really want to know him. So that you can start at the first word and end up at the last word. And in all those centuries, everything says the same thing, but it's saying it spiritually. Well, that's just a story. Yeah, it is a story. But are you listening? Are you listening to what he's saying to you? Because he may not be saying it to me, but he is saying it to you. I get emails every day from all over the world that say, this morning I got up and you wrote this for me. No, I didn't. It's just his scripture. You know, my family was going through and we did our devotion together and boom, it's the Holy Spirit. You need the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. You need the scriptures. You need the Bible. You need to search the scriptures daily to see if these things be true. Instead of throwing up a smoke screen of separation in church and state or the big temple, they loaded the people down with laws. They loaded them down with burdens too heavy for any person to bear. So religion and law, self-righteousness, all keep people from the truth. And then it's too late for all of us. Search the scriptures. The stakes are too high. It's not about religion, a church, or Christianity. It's about you and eternity. Lord, we would pray that your Holy Spirit would have mercy on our souls. You'd be forgiving and gentle with us. You'd be supernatural with us, and you'd show us eternity. God, may we be forgiven of our sins. And for those of us that are believers, may you forgive us for not searching the scriptures daily. Can you forgive us for living our lives and making our lives more important than our relationship with you? May you take the baloney and the hypocrisy out of our hearts. Lord, we ask that you'd wash us and cleanse us. You'd baptize us with the power of the Holy Ghost, that we would unleash the gifts that you've given us so that we can reach out our hands to the children and to the aged, to the poor and the hungry, the lame. We can reach out our hearts to the egos and the prideful and the rich, and that we could just give ourselves to you so that others can see you through us. Help us search the scriptures. That we may find Jesus. Lord, may you bless these people that have been honest with their own souls. May you fill us all with this great, deep hunger to know you and to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh bringing to a close his teaching, Search the Scriptures. Perhaps today's teaching has been especially valuable to you, and you may want more spiritual direction at this time. Let me suggest that you log on to our website and look under the Know God link to find immediate instruction on a number of fundamental spiritual issues. Just go online at mikemackintosh.com. Now, before we end our time together, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at mikemackintosh.com. Join us next time as we forge ahead through our series in the Gospel of John with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.